We understand that God's master plan involves many different facets. However, having said that, we also understand that all of the holy days reveal that each step in God's plan, in one way or another, they are interconnected with each of the other steps. Pentecost is no different. It fits right in. In fact, if you simply look at the name itself, doesn't the Feast of First Fruits, as it's actually called, doesn't that indicate that there are at least multiple aspects to God's harvest? If it's the first, then there has to be at least a second. And so we understand this, and so we see that things are connected, putting all the dots together in the master plan of God. We also understand that Jesus is the firstborn over all of God's creation. Jesus was the first to rise from the dead. Now that's an interesting point, and it's a very important point for us to recognize and to understand. Jesus is the firstborn, as it says, from among the dead. His resurrection is unlike any that had ever happened before. And there had been prior resurrections. But the reason that his was unique, the reason that he could be called the first, is because all other resurrections, all others who had been resurrected, let's put it that way, were resurrected and had to face human life again. Jesus was no longer a human. That's unique. That's unique. He was, at that point, an eternal Son of God. There are some sad errors creeping into God's church at this time. I mean, now. Some are saying that Jesus was resurrected back to human life, back to physical life, for the 40-day period of time that he was spending with the disciples. Brethren, please understand, that simply is not so. That is not so. There are many ways to disprove this assertion. One way is to simply understand that there were resurrections back to human life recorded in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament. Jesus resurrected several people during his earthly ministry. Therefore, if he was not the first person to be resurrected from the dead in some type of special manner, why does Scripture say that he was the first to rise from the dead? And it says that. If he was resurrected back to physical life, why does it say that he was the first to be resurrected from the dead? Because he was the first to be resurrected back, not to physical life, but back to eternal Son of God status life. Eternal life. Another question would be, why does Scripture call him the firstborn from among the dead? If there had already been other resurrections, and his was just like those resurrections. The answer is, it wasn't like those other resurrections. Do we understand, and I certainly think that we do, and I certainly hope that all of us do, what happened to Jesus is exactly what is going to happen to his church at his return, triumphant return of Jesus Christ at the next feast, the Feast of Trumpets? Do we realize that? Do we realize that the resurrection that happened to him is exactly what is also going to happen to his church? And we need to understand that. And that is a true statement. What can we understand through the Feast of Trumpets or the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost is that God is involved in another harvest now. God is redeeming others from among men. Write down Revelation 14:4. We're going to read that in just a little bit. But that's what that tells us. This is where I get this from. They are also called God's first fruits, just as Jesus Christ is also called by that same term. And so from that we conclude what he was resurrected to, the way he was resurrected, that's what's going to happen to us. That's what's going to happen to the church of God. What we notice is how this term is used in several following verses that I want us to read together to drive this point home. We're going to read several verses, and I'm going to tell you up front we're going to. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or to come, the redemption of our body. What it is telling us is real simple. What happened to Jesus is going to happen to us. What happened to his body? His body was resurrected not to physical life, but to spirit life. Ours is going to be changed, and we're going to be resurrected not to physical life, but to spirit life also. Romans chapter 16 and verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. He's naming names. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the firstfruits of them that slept. Now verse 23, 1 Corinthians 15, 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry or the service of the saints. Now we could go on and we could explain and we could talk about every one of these verses, but you know what? They're all saying in one way or another the same thing. I have a couple of others. James chapter 1 and verse 18. James 1 and verse 18. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And then one more in this place. Revelation 14 and verse 3. I told you to write that one down because we're going to see something else about it. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. There are so many occasions that we, who are the church of God, are referenced as the same thing that happened with Jesus. He is the first of the first fruits, and we're part of that. We come after, of course. It's already happened to him. But please understand, he was not resurrected back to physical life. He was resurrected to spirit life. As so will we. We just saw and we read in Romans 8 and verse 23. We read that one. It's the first one we read. That our bodies will be redeemed. Brethren, that is to say, resurrected. We're going to be resurrected. Jesus became first fruits by his resurrection. We read that one. That's over in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. I want to read that verse again. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became first fruits of them that slept. And that is by the resurrection of the dead. We, the church of God, we will become first fruits by our resurrection to eternal life. We will bear the image of the heavenly. That's what it says, and I'm going to read you this place. In 1 Corinthians 15, go there with me. In verse 45, we will begin reading 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, meaning alive. Quickening means to be alive or to bring alive. It's various ways of saying that. But it means life. Spirit life is what it is saying. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural or human or fleshly. And afterward, that which is spiritual. Talking about Adam, the first man, was natural, was flesh and blood and bone, was human. And it says, and the second, meaning the second Adam, and the second Adam, of course, is Jesus Christ. And it says, and that's spiritual. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Those that are of fleshly, that's what they are. Those that are of heaven, those that are following in the things of God, they are of heavenly things. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we are now flesh and blood and bone, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit in corruption. Go with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. Romans 6 and verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, his is the death of Jesus Christ, and were we? Have we been planted together? Yes, absolutely. We've been baptized. We were baptized into his death. We were put into this watery grave. Symbolic, but yes, we were. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and yes, we have, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He was resurrected not back to physical life, but to spirit life. So will we. In ancient Israel, the priests were to cut a prescribed amount of grain prior to any harvesting. Before the season would start, before any cutting would start, the priest, a prescribed amount was to do this cutting. They were to lift it up and wave it before God to be accepted by God. This is prior to their being able to go and to harvest whatever it is that they were doing. Then later, at the time of the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost as we call it, two waves baked with leavening were also to be lifted up and waved before God. Two loaves of bread that were to be leavened, not unleavened, but leavened. They were lifted up on the Feast of Pentecost, on this day. And it was waved before God. Jesus Christ's birth, life, death, and unique resurrection prepared him as the true wave sheaf who was lifted up before God and waved to be accepted by God the Father. Sad to say, but there are also some today teaching within part of the body of Jesus Christ that he was not the wave sheaf. If you have any questions about this, please study it, ask questions, come to a real understanding, because like I said, this is sad, but there are people who are coming to this conclusion now at this time. And have stated that Jesus Christ was not, is not the wave sheaf. That is a horrible statement. Today God is now calling, begetting, and perfecting faithful servants who will soon be completely redeemed. They will be. Let me rephrase that. We will be. Let's make this positive. It's going to happen. Let it be us. Let us be part of that. We will be resurrected or changed, because there will some who will still be alive in flesh and blood and bone bodies at the time where Jesus Christ returns. And those who are dead are going to be resurrected. Those who are alive are going to be changed. And so resurrected and or changed, whatever the case may be, into eternal beings, born sons of God. We will be waved before God also as the two loaves of bread were waved by the priest on the Feast of Pentecost. The space of time between the wave sheaf ceremony, day one, and when the day of Pentecost is fully come, day 50, that space of time is very important in God's timing. You thought we just wanted to do the exercise of writing out many lessons every day, right? That's what you thought? No, it's accounting. It says to do it. Fill up the time with counting. We could have just sent out a note and said, this is day one. This is day two. This is day three. You know, to remind us. But why not look at the lessons that God is going to show us that we can learn from this. This space of time in between is very important to God in God's timing. Even the name Pentecost, which I understand is a Greek term, but it means count 50. By process of the name itself, which is this day is called today, it means to count 50. God also says to count by sevens. And we did that. God has seven sevens pass. Seven Sabbaths. That's how you count it, by sevens. Then it was followed by a 50th day of ceremony and celebration. Today is day 50. God has instructed us to count to the Feast of First Fruits in two separate ways, yet connected ways. By days, 1 through 50, and by sevens, but they are connected. An indication that the number of weeks has to pass or be completed is found in the book of Numbers. So go with me to the book of Numbers and let's see something there. Numbers 28. Numbers 28 and verse 26. Numbers 28 and verse 26. Also in the day of the first fruits. The day of the first fruits. When you bring a new meat offering unto the Lord, after your weeks be out, in the day of, that's an indication of counting it by days, and then it says, after your weeks be out, or the weeks be completed, the seven Sabbaths, seven complete weeks, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work. That's the day again, the Feast of Pentecost. The weekly counting is also seen, and we see that in Leviticus chapter 23, where God gives all the holy days, and the instructions of this day, the counting of it and all of that. It tells us, it gives us that. Leviticus 23 and verse 14, beginning in verse 14. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. This is weekly. Remember, I'm showing you here that it is also to be counted weekly. Verse 16. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. The morrow after you count the weeks. 7 weeks, seven Sabbaths. And the next day is going to come to a day 50. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. That's the loaves I talked about earlier. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Somebody asked me yesterday if I thought that I might know what the 2 waves represented. And I said, you'll have to come tomorrow. Maybe I'll know by then. But it represents us. It represents the first fruits. Now, there may be other things that it represents. You know, does it represent the old and the new? I don't know. Does it represent Jew and Gentile? I don't know. What I do know is what it says right here. And I'm one of these people who were considered as a scripturalist. What it says, that's actually, I'm dumb enough to believe that's what it says is what it means. I was accused of that one time. I said, thank you. They didn't take it as a compliment. I did. It said, two waves, loaves of 2/10 deals, and they shall be a fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits of the Lord. They represent us. Could it represent other things? Already asked, and the answer is, yeah, it could. I'm okay with whatever it represents. But I know that it says that it's this. Shift a little bit of a gear here and ask a question. Do we realize that one of the major aspects of the gospel that Jesus wanted taught around the world is that of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Now, it is. It is to be one of the major aspects of the gospel that is taught. Go you therefore into all the world and teach all nations and baptize and making disciples. One of the major aspects of that gospel message that is to go around is that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, and then all that that entails. What a beautiful picture. Because see, that resurrection from the dead, it also has a great deal of a picture for us. Because how he was resurrected, we will be resurrected. Meaning what he is like, we're going to be like. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 in verse 22. Acts chapter 1 in verse 22. Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, that was day 40 in the counting, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. We are to be a witness of his resurrection. No, we didn't physically see it. We were not there. But we can be engrossed in it. We can be surrounded in it. We can live in it in that sense by the Word of God. Because it is over and over and over. It's a major, 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 major theme in the Bible, in the plan of salvation. Acts chapter 4 and verse 2. Acts chapter 4 and verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I just jumped into that. Drop down now to verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. A couple more places. Acts 17 and verse 18. Acts 17 and verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. In other words, they came to him. These are philosophers. These are people who didn't necessarily believe that Jesus was the Christ or his resurrection or those kinds of powerful truths. And they said, what will this babbler say? I don't know to my face if I've been called a babbler, but that's a... probably not a bad thing. It's recorded in Scripture, you know. And some say he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preaches unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Of course he did. It's a major theme of the plan of salvation of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Romans 1 and verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, listen to this, by the resurrection from the dead. We notice that it is the Spirit of holiness that is involved in this resurrection of Jesus Christ. And brethren, please understand this. It is also with us. So it is with us. The Spirit of holiness. Resurrection is certainly a part of God's plan. Yet, clearly, there is a better resurrection. I mean, it's better to be resurrected than dead. Even if it's back to physical life. Because when you understand the plan, and that's another holy day. You see, God has all the bases covered. Every person who has ever lived is covered in some way within the plan of salvation. Some resurrected back to physical life. Why? So that they can now be taught. So that they can be told who Jesus is. So they can be taught who God is. And this incredible plan and how you can change your lives. And you can live a righteous way. And you can live forever. Not in the filth and the squalor and the sickness and all the bad stuff that's going on in this world today. That's better than being dead. But there is a better resurrection. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. That was physical life that they were resurrected back to. And this was an exciting thing. This was a positive thing. Because this was talking about people who had died and through the miracle of God, they were resurrected. People were resurrected back to physical life. And it says, and women received their dead raised to life again. What an incredible event that was. But it was back to physical life. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. In other words, they could have denied that Jesus is the Christ and died, and they didn't. They would have not been tortured. They took the torture. And then it says, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Spirit life. Just like Jesus. We that are called now have a lively hope. And that hope is tied directly to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. During the lives of those God is preparing as His first fruits, pictured by the 7 weeks between the wave sheaf ceremony and this day of Pentecost, day 50, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, we are called. We repent. We are baptized, and we walk with God in faith as He perfects us until our time is fulfilled. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember I told you earlier, I said part of the gospel message, a major aspect of preaching the gospel to all the world as witness, is to talk about this aspect of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then I added, and all that that entails. All of this is part of all of that entails. It is so much more to it. Why emphasize the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on the Feast of Pentecost? Because he was resurrected 50 days ago. I'm trying not to tie it down, but you understand how you count that time. It's not a technical thing. He was resurrected around the ending of the weekly Sabbath, and it's the beginning of day one. And it is part of that day one is day one of, day one of the week, which will be a Sunday. And that day one, that first day of the week, that time also became day one of the counting toward Pentecost. And so was it 50 days? No, it's between and, you know, and all of that. So this is where I'm jumping around here. And I think you understand what I'm getting at. But it's connected. It's connected with that event, with that resurrection, to what pictures us. And those 50 days of counting, it represents what happens to us. It's a picture of what God is doing with us. And us, at this point, I'm meaning the first fruits. The rest of the first fruits. The other of the first fruits. God has called Jesus the first of the first fruits, and we're the rest of the first fruit. And so it's connected to this time way back then, the day of the wave sheaf, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and us to today. That's why so much about the resurrection. We can't have the fullness of the day of Pentecost unless we have the understanding of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let me change gears another time. Still on the same topic. We do not know for sure who the 144,000 are. What we do know is that they are at least a part of what God is doing now, because he calls them the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. We know that because that's what he calls them. They are called also perfected. And we know this because God says they are without fault before his throne. Revelation 14. Revelation 14 and verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So it's pretty easy in this picture to identify who they are. They're the ones that has the name of God written in their forehead. This is how they identify them as being the 144,000. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. This is the voice of God. And it's the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no one or no man could learn that song except the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now, what did I tell you earlier that the word redeemed is referring to? Resurrected and perfected. Verse 4. These are they which were not defiled by women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Now, hold your place right here. There are times when people will get to talking about the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ and what they want to do, or after that what they want to do. And, well, I want to go out and I want to build new cities, and I want to build new planets, and I want to do this and I want to do that. Go ahead. I can't think of anything better than being in the presence of Jesus Christ for all eternity. Where else you want to be? Where else would you want to be? I mean, He's the groom, and we're the bride. Where else would you want to be? These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. They've been perfected. They're also first fruits. Brethren, please realize that the way God perfects us is by His Holy Spirit. The granting of the Holy Spirit to His church is the essence of the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost. It is the essence of what this day is. Yes, we have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We have been. We also have the down payment on eternal life now in us because Jesus Christ went to the Father and because He mediates on our behalf. I have scriptures on all of this. And because Jesus Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit. So what we understand, let me go back and phrase this. We have forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We also have the down payment of eternal life now in us because Jesus Christ has gone to the Father, because there He also mediates on our behalf. He goes before God on our behalf. What an attorney. What an intercessor that we have. And also, because Jesus Christ now lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And we live not just by the faith in Jesus Christ. And we do have faith in Jesus Christ. But it says also by the faith of Jesus Christ. And so there are times where we come to the place and says, well, I can't do this because, well, I just don't have the faith. Well, what did you just say? Probably what you didn't really mean to say. That's almost like denying that Jesus Christ lives in us. Or it's really not understanding that Jesus Christ lives in us. And if Jesus Christ is living in us, what does that mean? It is His faith. It just means we're not doing what we need to be doing. So we know these things are real because we have forgiveness. They're washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ goes to the Father on our behalf and mediates on our behalf. What greater mediation or mediator would you want? And then, besides all that, He also lives in us now. The giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The giving of the Holy Spirit to humans is what makes it possible for God to keep His promises to us. It's because of the Holy Spirit we can be assured, knowing that we know that God has promised and is going to happen because of the Holy Spirit. And it was given on Pentecost. Especially the promise that He has given to us of eternal life. To be perfected, we must have God's nature. We must be like God. We are to be like Jesus Christ. And we go through and we study and we digest and we pray over and we meditate over and we fast and we ask God to show us what this is and then how to live it. And He tells us what the bride is to look like. Ask God to make us the perfect bride. Ask God to make us, to show us, to make it so, to get me out of the way. And through the power of His Holy Spirit, that He will cause it to be, that we will become just like Jesus Christ. Just like also the bride of Jesus Christ. And we can be assured that God's promises are real. They're right. They're going to happen. Including and maybe even especially so His promise of eternal life. We need to be perfected and have the nature of God. To be just like God. We must be holy because God is holy. And it's the Feast of Pentecost that shows us this can be. This can happen. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44 says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourself, set yourselves apart, and you shall be holy, because I am holy." We're to have the nature to become just like God. Brethren, on Pentecost, through all that as it builds and it builds and it builds, and as we see more and more and more about these things that happen that are associated with the Feast of Pentecost, it is on Pentecost that God gave us the power to become the sons of God. Without this day, it's just words. But because of the picture of this holy day, it is so. This day is the day that God has given us the power to become the sons of God. Luke 24 and verse 49. Luke 24 and verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you," or upon you. "But tarry you," or wait you, "in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endowed," or endued, "by the power from on high." And what was the power on high? The Holy Spirit. And what was the end result of that that we see from this day? First fruits, sons of God. This day, Pentecost gives us the power to become the sons of God. John 1 and verse 12. Make this a memory verse. John 1, verse 12. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." This happened on the day of Pentecost. John 1 is where it talks about Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. He was a God being, and He emptied Himself, and He came amongst us, and He became flesh and blood and human life, and lived like we live. Well, not exactly. He lived perfect, but you understand what I mean. But it is through this day that this is reality, to give them the power to become the sons of God. Pentecost. It is time for us, for you and me, for us. It is time for us to fulfill God's will. It is time for us to live as sons of God. It is time for us to be His witnesses. We are to be witnesses. We are to tell others about this incredible plan. Go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. When did that happen? The day of Pentecost. And you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all the Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Wherever we are, as the opportunity is there, and don't walk through with our eyes closed so that we won't see, so we don't have to, go in with our eyes wide open to tell anyone and everyone who Jesus Christ is, who God the Father is, and it is through this incredible plan of salvation that we can become sons of God, born in the image and the likeness of God. And it is through this holy day that we can do that. Because we have been given power to become the sons of God. It is time for us to be perfected because our Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. Become you therefore perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. In Luke it says complete. It's the same thing. It means the same thing. We are to become perfected because God our Father is perfect. We have been given the power to do so. And that happened on the Feast of Pentecost. God is our Father. We are His begotten children. And so, brethren, what I ask each one of us is, let us be about our Father's business. Let's be about our Father's business. After all, the day of Pentecost has fully come. And I want to read the Aaronic blessing again today. Speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God has blessed us. He has blessed us. Let's receive the blessing that He has given to us. This is the Feast of Pentecost. We have been given power from on high to be the sons of God. God bless you with that.